another inglorious loss brings you.
Phoenix City!
To Phoenix City for another week. We're down at the 4K.
Nice fake enthusiasm there, Patrick.
No, I'm putting on the persona of happy Patrick who likes doing the podcast and not dreary Patrick who's done too many things this week and just wants to go home and sleep instead of record this podcast. So
what
I'm
about Christy Patrick?
Christy Patrick? I'm you know, like, isn't that always what Patrick is? Anyway.
Yes. Is that some kind of record? We've got literally 12 seconds in before the first C-bomb gets dropped.
At least I know exactly where it is to bleep it out. Whereas, when they're in the middle, they're defined.
I'll be sure to drop a few.
No, okay, so I'm going to probably mark in this podcast as explicit. So if you don't want to hear random C words that I missed in my edit, which I have zero time for, just so you know, guys, I have no time to go and find your C bombs.
Sorry, mate, that was funny though.
Like, I'm happy to not record this if you don't want to record, guys. Like, we can just stop that there and just release that. Like, I'm fine with that.
I can read out my rant about Ray Gadd if you prefer.
You've written a rant about him, have you?
Oh, hey, so did you see that tweet today?
Yeah.
That was absolute brilliance from Rolly Bonavacci.
So to tell us what happened, Ray Gatt tweeted, Rolly Bonavacci has joined Chris Hurd on the outer for Western Sydney Wanderers, won't play another minute this season. And Rolly replied with just, really? Question mark?
Yes. Which, just class.
Interesting.
Honestly, it was absolute classic. I was in stitches. It was so funny.
Well, you are childish, so.
That is true. And I get, you know, sleep deprivation is a part of life.
Cheap humour. If you want to get a cheap laugh, go to Cam.
Yeah, absolutely. Dad jokes are something I will just.
We were recording our outros last week with Dave and I, and they were just awful. Like, we realized how much we rely on you to just chuck out something stupid, yeah. and we'll riff off that, and then just laugh at our ones. Like, it was just the worst. Like,
I laugh a lot.
We didn't even use one in the end. So, you know, watching the Commonwealth Games, he has a very large forehead.
That's Guy Havelt.
It's Guy Havelt.
Yes, it is.
I'm very sorry, Guy, if you listen to the podcast. There's a meerkat poking its head on the screen. This is great audio. The Phoenix played a game. The Phoenix lost a game. The Phoenix shouldn't have lost. They should have won. The Phoenix exists still. Yay. Done. Happy.
Nice summarization of the game there.
Is it how you throw to us?
I think that was me throwing to you. It was either that or I was ending the podcast game. So, yeah.
And that's all from Phoenix.
So let's just put this out there that I was otherwise occupied while watching the game, so I had it on Sky Go, and I was watching when I could.
You just made that sound so much dodgier than it was.
Sure. Frosty got in late to the game because he couldn't find a stream, because he refused to pay Sky Sport for sports coverage, which
I just got sick of installing all the shit with Sky Go and it not fucking
working. Oh, Sky Go's the worst.
Like, it is
streams
horrendous.
Are more reliable where I am. It's just ridiculous.
It's like once you find one on YouTube, you're away.
Yeah.
And Cam hasn't seen the game at all, but has seen highlights. Has seen our goal?
I've seen the best part of the game.
All right, so let's start with the best part of the game. We scored a goal, but we didn't score it because Lee Broxham decided he wanted to score it instead.
Which is nice of him.
Very nice of him. You mentioned before the game was very reminiscent, before the podcast, that it was reminiscent of Nathan Burns against Newcastle.
If I'd mentioned that before the game, then that would have been some brilliant cleverness from me.
It would have been excellent.
Yeah.
And I would have lauded you. Forever. Where did my number end up for my nachos? Oh, you put it over there.
Okay. Oh, did you add it on mine? Okay.
I was number 4, wasn't I?
I was number 4.
Oh, well, I think we're both number 4. I think they took it away and then gave me the first number back when I came back to the table.
That's why it's confusing.
I was just wondering where my nachos were, and then the number was gone. I thought somebody stole the nachos.
Yeah, I was going to like chuck it on another table, hope they delivered it there and go right. And slightly
yep.
eat them all.
Yep, sweet.
Yeah. So, yes, it was a great piece of football by Lee Broxham, actually. I thought possibly the highlight of his career. But it was a little unfortunate, and it was a very lovely finish.
What do you mean unfortunate? I just don't understand what he's trying to do here. Like,
he's trying to hook it out with his left foot.
But the,
he's got no left foot.
The goalkeeper can just pick that up very easily. Like, he's the closest player to it. Why is Lee Broxham even needing to tap this ball, let alone put it in the back of the net?
I just feel like he's forgotten where he is, or he's like lost his positioning in relation to the goal. And then he's, you know, basically managed to tuck it away quite nicely. So, yeah.
To be fair to Lee, I think he's played in about four positions so far this season. So he's probably lost his bearings and he's just gone, shit, that's going near the goal. I've got no idea where the keeper is. I'll hook it out with my left. Oh, shit, I've got no left. Poke.
Yeah.
I thought Doyle had scored it.
Yeah.
Which is not true at all.
No, but it would have been nice if he had.
I'm glad I said that on the podcast.
That's a great piece of audio. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember who the guy was screaming up just outside where Broxham no was. But
it was Doyle.
Yeah. Oh, it was Doyle.
Yeah, it was Doyle. That's why I thought he scored it. He was the closest to it.
On the. What's he doing out there?
Wasn't it like from a corner or something that from?
I can't even remember.
I can't remember. I haven't watched that.
I only saw the replay of it.
To be honest, I didn't actually see it happen. I just saw Doyle run off. And so that's why I thought it was him. And then I watched the replay. And so, so we scored a goal. And then we led the game for a while until the 80th minute. Is there anything that happened in the time when we were leading that you want to talk about, Frosty?
I thought that we were very good going forward. I thought transition was sharp. Once we kind of pushed the ball up, it looked good. The centre of midfield was, I don't want to say empty, but it was certainly sparsely manned. But that kind of suits our game anyway. We're going to spread it wide and fast with Burns and Roy there. I thought we were a bit toothless up the centre. Just without having someone at the pointy end of attack. You know, with Roy and Burns attacking wide, you know, they're going to get a lot of space and time, and they're going to be able to bring it towards the goal but not necessarily get it into a space for a good shot.
Was Kelly Durbridge playing?
No,
he was on the bench. Yeah, there's the problem there, is that you wouldn't have a player like him or, God forbid, Watson in the middle. But I thought we were good on from the wings and on the counter-attack and all that kind of thing. So
yeah, we definitely were.
Thank you very much for my nachos.
I thought that... Libby Kikachi was fantastic. I mean, genuinely fantastic. I can remember him basically having to make three or four tackles just where he just made the timing perfectly. Didn't even touch the man, just took the ball clean off him and just wandered upfield. And it was. I mean, for a kid that age, just,
by the same token,
he's got cold water in his veins, man. He's just ice cold.
By the same token, I thought that some of Sarpreet's balls going from the central midfield out wide to Roy in particular, but also Burnsy on the other side, were excellent.
There was one that he whipped right through the middle on the inside of the defender.
And that's one that Krishna ran onto and then overran it inside the box type thing?
Yeah. But it was a very long ball.
That shouldn't have been a chance. And if Sarpreet's putting those balls to players like Roy as it is, imagine what they can do with another year under the belt, the two of them playing together. Those are the kind of balls that I felt like Sarpreet wasn't quite getting right when he first started playing regular minutes of the season. Mm. He'd play balls and somebody wouldn't be on the same page. Like, it'd be a good ball, but there'd be nobody running onto it or things like that. Whereas this time, he's playing balls to players' feet and then they're able to go in and goal.
He's actually had that problem pretty much every step of the way I've watched him play, because he is a step ahead of everybody else. I remember watching him, I think it was pre-season 2 or 3 years ago, playing against Stopout, and he was the absolute highlight of the game that I watched out there. It was, again, his vision and his ability to see a pass and execute that pass isn't quite... The other players in the team can't quite see that. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's something that's going to change in a hurry. I think people like Roy and Burnsy will learn that he can make special passes and make special plays work, but it isn't necessarily going to be that they're going to end up on the same page as him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you've got to learn that he's capable of making those passes, because you need to anticipate that pass. And with any other player, you're not anticipating them making that pass successfully and accurately, and it has to be just pinpoint accurate. And he's starting to really put them out there. It's pretty decent.
It's great to see. It's really good to see. Especially going into next season, we're going to have such a massive rebuilding job. No matter who comes in as the manager, we're going to have a lot of new players come in. It's nice to know that he's got and is building a good relationship with the two guys that are likely to play ahead of him next season.
Yeah, I find it interesting, because, I mean, you've got to be thinking that we're going to gut our visa crew and all but start again.
Yeah, I think the only one of the Visa players that's, I think, likely to be here next season is going to be Roy.
Is he even still a Visa player?
As far as I know, he is now.
He is now, but...
But there's been rumours around that he's got to be pretty close.
Is he next season? I don't know. We could actually have five more slots to play. I don't know.
Yeah.
But even
if he has a Visa, he's staying. So.
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, like he's... He's at the club next season no matter what, but we may have five import slots to play with. And if we have five, I reckon we keep Paratski around.
Yeah, that's fair, actually. I think that's the influence he had, whilst he has been hot and cold, the influence he has had in that central midfield and the way that Matt Redington has developed by playing beside him, I think it would be worthwhile keeping him on.
Well, those are the only midfielders we have. Nobody else can play the midfield well.
Wemac is a signed midfielder.
Well. That's what I said.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, I've not been on his fan list for a while.
But did you see his performance again in the US and Mexico?
Don't start me, man. I'm so far fucking beyond that crap.
Yeah, it's totally. Wemac's done very little for the club this season
When he came on, we had to pull Redington to right back.
Yeah.
Our fucking midfield disappeared.
Yeah.
Just absolutely disappeared. Paratski was off on his feet. Because, you know, playing defensive mid is a tough job. And I've got no idea where the hell Wemac was. He popped up to receive a ball a couple of times, but I don't think I saw him make a tackle or get close to screen someone.
And that's been everything this season. That's how the whole season's gone. So, yeah, I think
I just don't know what position Wemac plays now. He's not a wide player. He's not a 10. He's not a defensive mid.
He's played most of his career out wide on the left, and that's not necessarily what we actually need anymore.
We've got Roy, we've got
Burns. Nate Burns.
Yeah, he's better suited in a front left on a front three, whereas we appear to be playing more of a 4-4-2 diamond, where he doesn't seem to fit that left-sided midfield role.
Or even a 4-2-3-1, and he still doesn't fit it. Yeah. There genuinely isn't a formation that I can think of that he fits in as a starting player. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's even with the guys we've got. We've got a 22-year-old Matt Redington. We've got an 18-year-old Sarpreet Singh. He isn't fitting into that midfield, and at the very least, we're going to have four import slots. And you'd think you'd be lining those four straight through the middle of the team because that's your spine, and you want your better players, the guys that you're really paying the money to be in those spots. So where Wemac fits in, he's off contract now.
Yeah, totally.
So but if we're signing him, he's going to have to take a hell of a shave.
Yeah, yeah. Then we got to the 80th minute and shit went wrong. Foxy gave away a penalty, which is solid, and then we just fell apart twice. We should have really conceded before we actually did, because there was that great ball that was exactly a carbon copy of what the goal ended up being, but there was nobody at the back post the first time it happened. And then second time around, Kenny,
yes.
F.U. Kenny appeared and scored a goal, and we lost the game 2-1.
Yeah.
I was actually like, that's been the problem this year, is conceding late in the halves for Phoenix. Like, I'd love to see a breakdown of stats of like when goals were scored and how many were in the last 10 minutes of halves, because I think it's probably half of them.
Yeah, certainly they're playing adventurously and breaking up field and with numbers. It's going to count against us the longer the game goes. But I think the lack of confidence we have, as soon as we start struggling, we just don't have the belief in the system. And why should we? Because, yeah, you know, it just...
This season has been the case of we throw away leads. Like, we threw away a 3-0 lead against Victoria, we threw away a 2-0 lead against Victory. We've done the same here. We've taken a 1-0 lead into the last 10 minutes and made it a 2-1 loss. And, like, it doesn't really matter at this point. Like, the result doesn't matter. Yes, it'll be nice to avoid the spoon, but that means nothing.
To be fair, I just want it to be nice to have a win. We haven't had one for so long.
Do you know who I blame for this? Dale Warburton. The last time I won a game was against Perth Glory. And it was the own goal at the end that sealed it for us. And Dale tweeted, ha 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 ha. And then, if we don't win another game this season, I'll be happy. That was amazing.
Oh, Dale.
And I blame Dale Warburton for it. Yep. But we just switched off and... That's been the story of the season.
To be fair, I'm not sure it's necessarily a switch off for me. It's more along the lines of the level of fitness seems to have died away.
Well, that's because notice how the fitness coach is no longer around? Perhaps he was like a part of the problem.
I totally agree. That's definitely something that may have happened there. The point is, since they've had the change, they've got Now, the fitness level has obviously improved because they've been playing better later into games, but it just hasn't been long enough for the changes that have been implemented to take full effect when you've had that much of a season go past where you're not playing well and obviously the fitness levels aren't what they should be. And to be fair, they're playing a different system, a different style under Greeny than they were under the previous regime.
Well, they're actually trying to play football under this regime.
Yeah, so it requires different levels of fitness and different levels of, you know, commitment.
Or fitness in general.
Yes, I know you're quite negative about this, Patrick. I'm trying to keep it slightly more PC
just like
than that.
The whole, have you read Bart's Twitter account and what he preaches? It's all about football periodization. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like it's smoke and mirrors. And
no, periodization is not. It's
but the way that Bart implemented it, the club had no fitness trackers on players for the first 17 games of the season until Bart left.
What?
Yeah. There were no fitness trackers on the players. They threw out all the sports science because of the guy they hired and the guy that Dario hired. And, like, it's no wonder.
Sweet Jesus. It's no wonder. All the stuff they did with Ernie.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he had them so dialed in.
Yeah, we were the best team in the league in the last 10 minutes. And then we threw it all away because somebody liked their mumbo jumbo periodization, not quite periodization thing.
Yeah, don't bag periodization. That does work.
Yeah.
But. It's less important in regular seasons. It's great for building up for tournaments in a regular play, should I have studied. But, yeah, the fitness trackers are what is so important about regular season play is that you've got to keep track of that wear and tear and that slowdown.
And there was none of that. So, like, I can see why there's problems now. And thankfully we have a whole off season to fix this. But,
I wish you hadn't told me that. I'm really fucking ropeable now.
Yeah. if you weren't beforehand, you are now.
Yeah.
And then
there's one thing playing bad football, and there's another thing not being adequately prepared to play football.
But when that preparation existed from the previous coach and we had that all there. And let's face it, Greeny knew about it and loved that shit.
And they threw it out, yeah. Like, that's the kind of shit that we're dealing with.
Dumb.
The hangover from the previous regime is so, so great. And I don't think everybody appreciates how, how much the Dahlia era fucked us as a club.
Yeah.
Which is great times.
So we lost. Oh, that's really broke me down.
We lost the game 2-1.
Are we going to talk about those goals? Let's talk about the goals.
He did briefly talk about the goals.
I know.
Okay, all right, yeah. We'll throw to you.
Sorry, I'm just going to steal a chip.
They're nachos. Thank you very much, Cam.
So, Matthews, come on, fresh legs.
Yep.
And the first goal, he gets the ball. He gets a short pass in at the top of the box, and he takes a strong touch because he sees Fox is a little bit wrong-footed, and Fox dives in and catches him. Just dead set pin.
Fair pin. Fair yellow card. No problem here.
I think this is a little bit Fox being very one-sided. He's a very right-sided centre-back, which is a problem because so's Dura. And Atheu takes that touch out to his left, and he's not quite right getting his
and timing. This isn't the first time Fox has done this, but when Fox is under pressure in a situation like that, he backs himself and makes the challenge. And sometimes it comes off and he gets praised for it and he has immense games and he's made great tackles.
Most of the time it comes off.
But then other times, and the only, like, one of the bigger ones I can think of is against the victory as well. Away to victory when we lost 6-1, he got two yellows in the first half and got sent.
I'll be honest, he
makes the challenge and sometimes they go wrong. And to be fair, the same thing happens to Dura.
Yep.
Look at Dura in his all-whites games recently. Like, the number of pins he's given away in those games because he wants to make that last gasp challenge and just gets it a bit wrong.
Yeah,
that's what happened to Foxy here.
To be honest, if I'm attacking either Dura or Fox, I'm attacking their left. They are very right dominant players, and it's a real problem for us in that they both really want to play right centre back, and we don't have anyone at left centre. And I realise most people think of centre backs as being interchangeable, but it isn't. You are covering behind that fullback so much now with the wing backs playing up, you have to be good on that outside foot. There's no option. So we're going to keep getting those sorts of problems if it continues.
Well, actually, you bring up a question, actually, looking into next season, looking who is actually contracted into next season. And as far as I'm aware, we've got Doyle. He's the only player on the books for next season that can play in that left-sided centre-back channel. I think his contract's up, I think.
I thought he had another year. Fox
has got more years.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So there's your centre-back pairing. If that's a centre-back pairing, you can push into the future if you want to push Doyle. If you're going to keep Kakachai on and play him left-back, and then you're going to put Doyle and Fox as your centre-back pairing.
This is where it gets interesting, is Kakachai, because, yes, he can play left. He can play that left fullback role. I don't think it's his natural position. I just think he's left-footed, and he's a very good footballer. He reminds me of Joshua Kimmich.
Yeah, fair.
Just one of these guys that you can put anywhere, and he will play good football.
We do have Daniel Mullen on the books next year.
Terry, I thought he was on a one-year deal.
No, he's on a two-year deal, I believe.
Okay, so there's another centre-back slash right-back. So if you're going to yeah. look at your starting, let's take them
he's
as a
centre-back.
Yeah, but if you're going to, you can't play Doyle or Foxy at right-back. You're going to play, of those guys, you're going to play Mullen.
Yep.
So if that's your starting back line for next season, going off who's currently contracted, there is probably a concern around that.
We've got three right centres.
Yeah. Well, you don't, because
there are.
Yeah, but I haven't got him starting, and he's not contracted to next year.
No, he isn't, but let's face it.
He will be.
I'm comfortable he's going to get an extension, yes.
He's getting 50% of his salary outside the cap for next year.
Yeah.
So what is it, up to $200,000?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no reason why you wouldn't sign him at this point, even if it's just kind of a succession thing.
I think he's already on a pay cut from what he has been played the few previous years. So the pay cut plus only 50% of it cancels the cap. You'd be silly not to have him in the team. Yeah. Given that he's actually still one of our better centre backs, which is a thing that we shouldn't be saying in 2018, we should have a succession plan in place and it's not there. We have Fox.
But yeah, but going back to your left side thing with, yes, Doyle could transition that way,
yep.
but it leaves us with the problem at left fullback.
Doyle has played there at lower levels, admittedly, but he has played in that
left centre.
Left centre.
Yeah, I think he's got potential there. He's always been one of those strong physical players anyway, and I see him transitioning into left centre as he gets older anyway. But, you know, is it more of a problem to get a left centre than it is a left fullback? I think we struggle with fullbacks in this country and also in this league. And so I think maybe you're playing him at left fullback.
Doyle.
This is who we're talking,
who we're talking about.
I wasn't listening.
You really weren't.
No.
This is not unusual for you.
I'm so sorry, guys.
The other thing is that with Kikache, his natural position is defensive midfield. It would get him more involved in the game, which from a curiosity point of view, I think is kind of interesting because he has looked like he's at home already in the A-League at 17, is he?
Mm. Yeah, still 17.
Yeah, and he's just ice in his veins. He gets on the ball. He gets off the ball. He tackles well. He seems to understand where he is in the field, which for a non-natural fullback is really impressive. So whether he can play defensive midfield at this level, I'd be really curious about.
The other problem that you unfortunately have to think about with him is that October and November exams are on, and he may be unavailable because of exams, like Keegan Smith was at certain points.
Yeah,
this year.
Yeah, I know.
So
that
is a consideration
true.
That has to be thought of. We have to have some sort of cover for that next year, so I don't know where that is yet.
Yep, but the other thing is, as far as I'm concerned, he is going to be gone very soon. He will not be playing for us for a long time.
Melbourne victory?
No, I hope not.
It's more likely Europe, I think.
Yeah, if he isn't getting pushed towards Italy, let's face it, his old man's Italian, he'll probably qualify for an Italian passport. If his dad isn't pushing him straight towards Naples, I'm Dutch. And let's face it, if he could get to Napoli or somewhere like that where they're playing good, attractive football, that'd be so amazing.
The thing is that usually this would be ridiculous, and I'll call you out on the ridiculousness of making your European comparisons at this point, but for Kikache, it's not.
No.
Like, it's
no,
genuinely it's a thing. So,
isn't
that good? If he plays two more seasons in the A-League, then at the age of 19 goes over there and can do what like Nico Kerwin's kind of doing, but at a slightly higher level.
Honestly.
Wouldn't that be great as a football club to be doing that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. That's what I think we should be getting back to. And I don't think it's going to be two seasons. If he plays the same way he has, does a full season like this, gone. And as far as I'm concerned, goes with everyone's blessing.
Totally.
There's a reason I didn't call him out on the Kimmich comparison, because, like, actually it's kind of fair. And that's really nice to be saying those things about a young Kiwi footballer.
Is this the point where I point out that I don't know who Kimmich is?
And this is where we just go,
oh my God.
Move along.
Jesus, weird.
Move along.
Anything else on the round before I move us on to
second goal? Matthew just crossed. Redenton got pushed off the ball, put his arms up, went to claim a foul, which even the Fox commentators said should have been a foul, but played the whistle, lad.
Yeah.
Tough call on him, but, you know, he's got to learn to just expect he's going to get shit calls from A-League refs. And VAR doesn't matter for shit either. Just play the whistle.
Although VAR did make a very big call in this game, obviously.
Nah, it's a red. Happy with it.
Oh, yeah, totally. He has lashed out with his boot.
These are the things that I'm perfectly happy for VAR to do. Those are so hard to call in real time as a referee. Alex Rufus just had a brain explosion and lashed out and committed a red card offence and he got sent for it and he deserved it. Like, I have no problem with that.
He was that yellow he got was a very orange yellow.
Yeah, he got it beforehand, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's gone in two-footed and lucky he didn't absolutely murder the guy. And so, yeah, he was shaping up that way. I think he was trying to make a point about his contract.
I think he's ended his Phoenix career.
Yeah, totally.
Rudy knows that Greeny and Dez didn't rate him and obviously left him on the outer, and now Greeny's given him a shot. And then the essentially last two games of the season and he's just gone. That's how I'm going to thank you for that. So...
yeah,
it'll be interesting where he turns up. I think if he doesn't get that new contract with Phoenix, then I reckon he's likely to go. No, I reckon he's likely to go overseas because he can live in Switzerland, so he can play in Europe quite easily because it's an EU country. So there's a lot of places he could turn up over there. And somewhere along his age, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take the why wouldn't you take the opportunity? Even if it's playing it's like third division Germany or whatever it is, you're going to take the opportunity.
Germany.
But just the point is, if those opportunities come up, that's where you're going to take it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an opening in the Lithuanian league.
Mateo Lu actually left one at his club. Other rest of the round, I'm going to move on now. Newcastle Jets disappointingly went down 2-0 to Perth Glory.
Yeah, what is... They have really...
It's the only yips. Once they get on a roll, they can't keep it. We did the same in 2014.
He doesn't know how to close out a season, does he?
He doesn't know how to keep a winning team a winning team. He can fight when you're the underdogs really well. Same thing that we did that year, but then drop off.
He doesn't adapt. I think that's Ernie's thing.
Thankfully, though, they've only adapted down into second place rather than fifth or fourth place for us, depending on whether you count Perth Glory or salary cap cheats that year.
Yeah, so they get the week off in the finals.
Totally. Diego Castro got a pen. Adam Taggart got another goal. 2-0. Easy win.
That offends me so much, that Perth winning games.
They're actually on the rise.
They have
been pants all season, and somehow some teams have conspired to play them into something like form.
There was a really nice interplay between Castro and one of the other forwards whose name I can't remember to get take it free for that. It was a really, really nice attacking goal.
Cool. Wanderers had a 3-0 win over the Brisbane Roar. Speaking of teams, there were somehow getting wins after being shit all season. Riera, Economidis getting the goals for them. Melbourne City scraped a 1-0 win over the Central Coast Mariners. Bruno Fonaroli in the 49th minute getting his goal there. And the Sydney FC dispatched Adelaide United thanks to two goals to Bobo, which takes them into 26 goals for the season, which is the record.
Which is an insane number.
They played 26 games and he's got 26 goals. And I don't think he's played all of them.
No, he hasn't. And don't forget that they've been playing Asian Cup.
True,
as well.
Yeah. It's Champions League, yeah. So
phenomenal. Actually phenomenal.
And he's done it without even really breaking a sweat, eh?
He's done it with Mirchevsky in the team as well. Like, usually when you have one player standing out like that.
And Ninkovic.
Usually it's very hard to stand out as a single goal scorer and you share them around. You get like 10 goals each and there's your 30 goals for the season.
You got to ask yourself.
How many goals have Adrian and Ninkovic got?
Because they're probably on about 20 combined, I think. So Adrian doesn't really score the goals. He definitely creates
them.
No, but
Ninkovic has got a few.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you got to ask yourself how in a salary capped league they are managing to keep all of those guys happy.
Well, Majewski is basically he's supported by the FFA.
This is the first year that Adrian's there. So yeah, two of them are marquees.
Mm-hmm. So another one's a FFA marquee.
The one that they there's 32 marquees. Oh right, I see. But yeah, the only player they haven't kept happy was Jordy Boas, who had to be left out of the Champions League squad because they could take
only three.
Yeah. And like, why would you not take the three that are scoring bucket loads of goals for you?
Yeah.
They had a big win in the Champions League as well. I think they won 4-1 or something. And yeah. Away from home.
Like, yeah. Suwon or something like that. I can't remember.
Suwon.
Didn't even Simon get in on the goals or something?
Probably.
Someone had a sign in one of the
WrestleMania
games.
Yeah. No, it was WrestleMania.
It was WrestleMania. Yeah. Matt Simon is God. It was brilliant.
Random.
I rate that. And then that was the round. This weekend we go to Auckland. Cam goes to Auckland. Frosty and I.
Yes, I'm off to Auckland.
Stuck in Wellington. Dave is going to Auckland via the Gold Coast,
which is quite an impressive effort.
He's going to watch the basketball semi-finals at the Comm Games.
Oh, he's already won tickets
on
hey?
Friday. Yeah, he won tickets.
Won an entire trip.
He won a trip, but he's there for the basketball. He's there for one night, and they said to him, "You can pay for more nights, and that's fine. We'll just move your flight." So he's like, $500 a pop on the Gold Coast. Like,
why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Like, yeah. So he gets to see the basketball semi-finals, which would be great. He gets two games in one night, which is and we're good. Then going back to Auckland for that, so he managed to convince the company to. Who he won his tickets from to send him back to Auckland. So he gets to watch the game there. So
nice.
I won't be there. I'm partly glad I won't be there. Isn't that a sad place to be? Like, to me, the season was done when we played that last game against for Raw. Like, that's when the season ended for me. Like, these games are just like little tacked on at the end.
Yep.
And don't really matter.
Yeah, it's oh, it's kind of weird, mate. I hate missing a Knicks game. I love watching Knicks games, no matter what.
Me too.
I want to be there. I always want to be there and involved, and I never have a bad day at the football. As I've said many times, there is no bad day at the football because you're there with your mates and you're having a laugh and it's always good fun. So I always want to be there and I'll always enjoy the trips. But it feels like the football isn't the highlight at the moment. And you want it to be the highlight. You know, you want to be.
Otherwise, you just might as well go to the pub or the park with your mates.
Exactly. And so that's why it's a tough one. But I wouldn't miss it if I can at all avoid missing it. I'll avoid missing it. I love being there.
Yeah. So we're playing Melbourne City, and we're going to lose, which is almost a given because they're good and we're not.
Actually, I don't think we're going to lose this time. I actually think we're going to win.
Okay, justify it. Because I don't even justify my stance.
Because Melbourne City have nothing to play for. I actually don't know if that's true. I don't even know where they are in the league. I've paid so little attention to the league.
Third and fourth, they get to avoid Sydney FC in the semi-finals if they win or something like that, I think.
So they do have something to play for. No, I can't. I just think we're going to win. I can't justify it. I think we're just going to go out in the season with a win.
The optimist says we're going to win. The pessimist, not the pessimist, the realist at the table, what does he think?
I think we're actually going to hang in it to the last minute, and then Dario's going to score a header.
Yep. That sounds about right.
That would just be our season.
Exactly. That would just be like, yep.
God, that would be brutal. I would not like that.
No, I that's just me imagining possibly the second worst thing that could happen in this game. The worst thing being they absolutely trouser us and he scores a hat-trick and scores an 89th-minute header as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But knowing him, he'll probably walk over and apologise.
You guys stop bringing me down now. Can you please? Yeah, he's such a lovely bloke. It's quite weird, eh? He's an absolutely lovely fellow.
We were talking about this earlier in the week, where we were talking about whether we had any players on the podcast this year, and you said we've had no players. Was it you or was it Dave?
Was it me?
I think it was Dave. Dave said we haven't had any players on the podcast this year. And I said, yes, we have. We had Dario Vidicic, who at the time was a Phoenix player, just no longer a Phoenix player.
Yeah,
so Melbourne City, if they win this, they confirm third place. Otherwise, Victory can jump them.
I wonder how many Victory points.
Got? Well, don't ask me tough questions like that.
I wonder how many points Dario has got in the Player of the Season awards
for the Phoenix.
For the Phoenix.
And will he win it?
Hey, I don't think he'll win it. I think Redemption will go past him. But
so Melbourne Victory have Sydney FC. So that was, and they have that before our game. So Melbourne City will know. So
they'll know what they have to do, and that's what I hate about the A-League not having their last round of games all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and it provides such an unfair advantage to so many teams.
And if we win, we'll jump ahead of the Mariners, who immediately will know what they have to do against the Jets in order to avoid the spoon.
Basically, they need a point against the Jets, and they avoid the spoon. We have to win at all, and they to avoid the spoon. And if they get a point against the Jets, we can't go past them because of goal
difference. City have a victory early on Friday. Then after our game on Saturday is the F3 Derby, Central Coast versus Newcastle United. Late that night is Perth Glory versus Brisbane Roar. Then it's Western Sydney Wanderers versus Adelaide United on Sunday at 7 p.m. And that will end the season.
End the regular season.
Yeah, but then the playoffs, nobody really.
Well, I won't be watching. I'll probably watch the grand final, but I won't be watching.
Given we're not in the playoffs, nobody cares about the playoffs. If we were there, I'd care about them, but. No,
I won't pay any attention until the grand final, and then which I'm hoping is Newcastle Sydney, and I'll be cheering for Newcastle.
Yep, totally.
I hear it. I saw Mossy this week, and he said, "Oh yeah, you guys are in Auckland, and next week we got the week off, so it's going to be good." I'm like, "Why do you get a week off?" And I realised that they were so good that they finished second.
Yep.
And firstly, the playoffs were a thing, and it's not just 6 weeks off like the things had, and then
or
it's
months and months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, the point with that is that they've got the playoffs off. And then they've got their regular time in between, you know, season and pre-season off. They're going to be gone for 10 weeks, effectively.
Yeah. The Phoenix Awards are next week.
Tuesday night.
Predictions for who's going to win awards there? Let's just predict.
Golden Boot.
Golden Boot, yep.
Roy Krishna.
Is it?
No, I don't know. I think it's Kelly Durich, isn't it? Yeah, I think so.
With like seven.
He's got nine, I think.
Oh, whenever your Golden Boot has single digits figures, you know.
Shouldn't it be Golden Forehead? He's only scored one with his foot, hasn't he?
Yeah, maybe a couple, but yeah.
Penn and the one he poked in a couple of weeks ago.
Under 23 player of the year. How old's Matt Redington?
He's 22.
It's got to be him, but it's probably going to go to Sapri.
The problem with that one is that it's not coach's vote, it's fan vote. So it's totally going to go to Sapri Singh.
Yeah.
And Fox, like, I was looking at that under 23 list. Man, it's strong.
There's some good players.
Fox is in there. Redington, Sarpreet Singh,
Liberato Kikache.
Yeah, Kikache.
Remember when that list was like Louis Fenton, Marco Rojas, Cameron Lindsay? Like when it was that caliber of player. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they were all there together, but like
Marco Rojas.
Well, I was reading these names out to the Aussie radio guys, yep. And they were like, "What, these Matty Redington's?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he's 22."
Yeah,
it's like they couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he's been around 5 years. It's like he's been working, learning the trade, and like you've got all these guys coming through, and you know, then you've got obviously Logan Rogerson, who for some reason these guys were quite impressed with, despite him only playing like two goals.
That's why they like him.
Yeah, he hasn't played two games. He's played a lot more games than that, but he just doesn't start.
Recent weeks, 2 weeks, 2 games, 2 goals, kind of thing.
And then you've got obviously Keegan Smith. I think Ollie Sale was there.
Yeah, he was. He was under 20. He was in the under 20 squad for the under 20 World Cup here.
Yep. And I think that might have been it. But and Roofer. But
yeah, we know what that's happening there.
You exclude Roofer because those other guys have been doing. Yeah.
I think Matty Redington should win that one, but he won't. Player of the year. I think Matty Redington is probably a great shout for that
one. I would love Matt Redington to get it. I don't think he will. I think
he's been the most consistent by far.
That's a 3-2-1 across the coaching staff after each game. So who knows how the fuck Dalje voted. I think it's either him or Roy Krishna. Like, Roy Krishna would have picked up a lot of twos and ones across all the games, where he's just one of the better players in the team across the whole season. So
I would love Redington to get it. I think it's going to be Krishna. Maybe AK9? Just because of he'll get it for the goals he scored, and again we don't know how Dario's gone with
his goals in 7 games.
It's kind of weird because you look at the start of the season, you think Podolski was going to be a shoo-in for this because he was playing so well, but since about round 6 he's been inconsistent at best, so
yeah
it's going to be interesting. It's under 23 player of the year, fan of the year.
Who knows?
It's impossible to tell.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely is impossible to tell.
It's not really fan of the year. It's kind of like fan of who's been around for the past 5 years and deserves it over the last 5 years of work and stuff. So who knows?
Who has suffered the most?
It's a bit like volunteer of the year, actually. It's hard to judge who's going to get that.
There's no volunteer of the year anymore.
They gave it last year.
Oh, did they? Okay, sorry.
Ken, so young player, year. Golden boot, player.
Player's player.
Player's player.
That's
Matty Redington.
Yeah, it's got to be a.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon the players regard him with that?
Should have clean sweep of a lot of these awards.
I think the players absolutely regard him in the because he gets points of being young, and this is his first season, and he gets points of being one of the most solid performers against season.
I think he's definitely been the most consistent player,
and that's how you win these awards, when you get points through the season. I think the players vote after every 9 games, and they tally that up. So I think Matty Redington with a good shout, and like. Who else would it be? Roy Krishna, who threw his toys and didn't want to play for a little while? Like, the players were the ones that are most annoyed about that. So,
and also being away for a few games, he would have missed out on getting points. So
Matt Redington for me should thoroughly clean up at the awards. But again, genuinely no idea. Couldn't tell you who's actually going to win them.
All right. Back home. New Zealand football. Actually, Oceania football. T-Dubs had an 11-0 win over the Lay City Dwellers.
Not unexpected. Scoreline, to be fair, was more than I expected. I did think they'd win comfortably, though.
I was thinking 5 or 6, and it was really impressive watching T-Dubs not take the foot off the pedal. And, like, to be honest, the best part of the game for Lay City was the 73rd to the 90th minute, where they didn't really concede, and T-Dubs were still trying. There was no easing off from T-Dubs. So.
Well, there was also a stretch in the first half of about 25 minutes the third goal.
Yeah, they were already 3-0 down there.
Yeah, so. And again, but didn't take the foot off, but that was the best part of the match for Lay City. But honestly, it really was just all Team Wellington. There was, apart from the fact that Lay City had the first shot on goal, they were still behind within a minute of having that shot on goal.
11-1, obviously not the most intense game, but the players did themselves no disservice. And it shapes up to be a semi-final against Auckland City, who dispatched their opponents 2-0. And if you look at the form going in, 11-0, 2-0, like, we should probably win these games.
It is not how it works at all, Patrick.
I actually think Auckland are hamstrung by the sheer number of visa players, overseas players that they have. There's no doubt that they are a very strong team, but I actually think we have a stronger New Zealand base to our squad than they do.
Okay,
they were playing a harder opposition.
I'll maybe give you that one, but I don't think that this is the year where you can say that Auckland City are relying on their imports.
No, I don't think they are. This year they have a stronger New Zealand core to our team.
But at the same time, Auckland City, this is the time that they actually have been playing 8 New Zealanders and 3 imports, as opposed to the other way around like they'd have for years. So I think they spent this whole season trying to develop Kiwi talent, like Owen Parker Price, Callum McCowett, all those guys who have done really well in the league because of the O-League restrictions getting tightened up. So I don't think that's a factor at all.
I think it's going to be interesting head-to-head, actually. And again, the grand final a couple of weeks ago shows exactly that. I think I really actually think we're going to knock them off.
Well, the problem I have is it's across 2 legs. On our day, we can beat Auckland City.
Absolutely.
But whether we can do that twice.
We don't have to do it
twice. Well, you know what I mean. Like,
if we can do it over 180 minutes, is what you're saying.
Anyway, the first game is at David Farrington Park, 1 p.m.
April the 22nd,
which is a Sunday. So you can get out and do your Saturday winter football and then go and watch T-Dubs at AVF, which is a great piece of scheduling from RFC. Thank you for not putting it on a Saturday. And then the following leg is the same time the next weekend at Kiwatea Street on the Sunday as well. So currently looking at how I can get up there. Flights are very expensive that weekend already, so I'm looking at other options, but we'll see.
I think you can safely say that Ramon is going to try and tie this game up and bury it.
I honestly think he's probably going to try and make the leg here boring.
Oh, yeah.
And win it back home.
And win it in Auckland. And he's entirely capable of doing that, and he definitely has the personnel that can easily do it.
He's looking for a 0-0 down here and a 1-0 back at home.
Yeah.
Just nothing.
If he nicks something here, then all the better for him. But
all right, let's talk about it more depth next week, because there's another week before that happens. Anything else happen relatively? No, not really. I can't think of anything. Oh, the Chatham Cup draw happened. No games in Wellington, which means we're down on teams this year in the Wellington region. But there's other games around the place. There are games in the Women's Knockout Cup though, the Kate Shepherd Cup. I don't have them to hand, so I can't tell you what those are. But the first round is Anzac weekend, so Anzac Day, and then the weekend of, I think the weekend is 25th and 26th of April. So get out and watch the women's football, and then when the first round proper happens, I think 2 weeks later on the 12th of May, we'll get games in the Wellington region. But we'll obviously update you more on those when we get closer to them. But let's go further abroad now and go to Kiwis Overseas, brought to you by OptiVise. Take us away, Cam.
Okay, Bill Terry Loma scored his first goal for Portland Timbers as they went down 3-2 to Orlando City. Portland scored first from the penalty spot when VAR overturned an initial yellow card for diving, which would have seen Timbers reduced to 10 men. Tui Loma then headed in from an attacking free kick to extend the lead to 2-0, which they held until the 80th minute. Jake Gleeson helped keep Portland in the game, but before three late Orlando goals saw them leave empty-handed. The loss ends Portland's run of 5 away games to start the season, which has seen them travel over 12,000 kilometres to all 4 corners of the US. Portland's first home game of the season is against Michael Boxall's Minnesota United, who had a bye this round. There were 3 Kiwis in the starting lineup for Colorado Rapids as Kip Colby made his first start alongside Tommy Smith and Declan Wynn. Colorado took the lead against FC Dallas, but an 89th minute goal saw them pegged back to draw 1-1. Colorado host Toronto FC on Sunday. There was little Stefan Marinovic could do to save the Vancouver Whitecaps as they stumbled to a 2-1 defeat against Real Salt Lake. A deflected shot in the first half, injury time, and an 88th minute tap-in saw Real take the points, with the Whitecaps picking up a consolation goal in stoppage time. The Whitecaps host LAFC next. Elliot Collier came off the bench in the 71st minute as Chicago Fire held on to beat Columbus Crew 1-0, Chicago host LA Galaxy on Sunday. Tyler Boyd made his 8th start in a row for Tondela as they drew 2-2 with Portimonense. Boyd scored Tondela's 2nd goal, getting between 2 defenders to guide a low cross in off the far post. Tondela are 10th in the league with 5 games to go and have a trip to Rio Ave. Awesome. That sounds like a bar on Monday. Chris Wood.
I'll definitely go there.
Chris Wood made his first 90-minute appearance since his injury return as he helped Burnley to a 4th consecutive top-flight win for the first time in 50 years with a victory over Watford. 2 goals in 4 minutes saw Burnley come from behind to win 2-1 and solidify their hold on 7th place, remaining closer on points to 6th than Leicester in 8th, who they host on Sunday. Themis Zimopoulos was given the captain's armband as Giannina went down 1-0 to Apollon Smirnis. Thiemy won a penalty after being pulled down as a corner came in, but his team failed to convert and conceded the game's only goal 2 minutes later. Genoa have slipped to 11th with a trip to Xanthi on Saturday. Pex Vol lost 3-2 to Roda JC after finding themselves 2-0 down in the first 8 minutes. Ryan Thomas came off after 65 minutes with a score 2-1, and despite managing an 85th minute equaliser, Zvol conceded again 2 minutes later to make it 9 losses since January. Marco Rojas did not see game time as Heerenveen kept their playoff hopes alive with a 1-1 draw at Groningen, but did make a 90-minute appearance for the reserves, scoring their first as they lost 3-2 to Excelsior Reserves. Heerenveen are 2 points off the playoffs and 3 points behind Zvol. Benjamin van den Broek came out on top in the Dutch Kiwi Derby as Koninklijke, hopefully, beat Jesse Edges Achilles 29. Achilles had won the last match between the two sides, but have since been on a 15-match losing streak. And van den Broek set the scene with a backheel pass between the legs of his marker to set up the first goal as his team, the one starting with K, won 4-1. There was very little action for Jeremy Brocky as he was an unused sub in Thursday's 2-0 win over Chipper United before coming on in the 85th minute of Malmelody's 2-1 win over Baroka.
But he was the top scorer in the league. He's been bought for a team and they don't play him. It's just like you just bought him to stick him on the bench.
I did. I swear they bought him so his opposition, SuperSport, didn't have him. That's why I think they've bought him, because he's playing so few minutes. There was an article written about this recently. I think perhaps I saw it today, about how few minutes he's actually playing and why that would be the case. It was very, very odd.
Did you mention Elijah Just?
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, sorry, mate.
He's thrown to you because you were visibly outraged.
Yeah, you very obviously wanted to interject a point at that point.
Oh, no, I was willing to wait.
Okay. Corey Brown made his debut for Fresno FC, playing 90 minutes as they drew 1-1 with St. Louis. Fresno gave away a penalty in the first half stoppage time, but equalised 2 minutes into the second half to take a share of the points. Kyle Adams also got 90 minutes as Rio Grande Valley lost 2-1 to Colorado Springs. Ben McKendry made his debut for TPS, playing for 90 minutes as they went down 3-2 to Lahti in their first league match of the season after a goalless first half. Lahti went 3-0 up before TPS scored twice in stoppage time to give the scoreline some respectability. Stephen Old played 90 minutes as Morecambe ended their 5-match unbeaten run with a 3-0 loss to Cheltenham before letting a 2-0 lead slip to draw 2-2 with Chesterfield in midweek action. Morecambe remained 7 points clear of relegation with 5 matches remaining this season. Kane Vincent was named in the team of the week after scoring the only goal in Kazusart's 1-0 win over Thai Honda, taking them to 4 points off the top of the table. No news on Elijah Just and any potential contract with Pex Vol.
I suspect it might not be happening now.
Possibly not.
Mm. Yeah, but it's kind of curious that he's been kept around and, you know, he's been taken in as he has been.
So it looks like there's some issues around visa requirements.
Don't you hate when the swimmers and the divers are on the Commonwealth Games and you look at their bodies and you're like, I'm never going to look like that.
And he's playing for Wests currently as well, so he's back in New Zealand.
I'm very distracted.
Okay, cool.
Is that Kiwis Overseas?
That is Kiwis Overseas.
That is Kiwis Overseas. As you can tell, I'm distracted by the Commonwealth Games. There's squash going on. And you're, there's diving going on.
Checking out the physiques of the divers.
They are very good looking. All of them.
They are ripped. It is fair to say they are ripped.
Like, wow. I'm never going to look like that, which is really disappointing.
There's also the fact that you're a foot taller than them.
Am I?
Yeah, they're all tiny.
They're all tiny.
Oh, okay.
Tiny with very little body fat.
Yeah, but you can be large with very little body fat.
Yeah, you're still not going to look like that.
All right. Have you seen my brother?
Yes, I have. So he is a competitive swimmer.
The annoying thing is I know it's not my genes that are preventing me from looking like that. It's me.
It's all in the head.
It's me. Anyway, that is the podcast for this week. Thank you for bearing with us to the end.
I was just going to say, it was odd when I did see Kyle doing shirts off in the zone, and there's a lot of skin around, and then Kyle stands out like a sore thumb with the 8-pack.
Yep, thanks, Cam, for reminding me about it.
Just going to rub that in.
That's the bottom of this week. We made it through. I hope you made it through and you're hearing this part, because if you gave up earlier, I do not blame you.
And that's all down to Patrick's very obvious cynicism at having to do this.
yeah, pretty much. Thanks for listening. Dave says thanks. He's not here. We're here. We say thanks. Bye.
Patrick's dad bod brings you.
Serving at the boys on TV brings you.
Being the least in shape person at the table right now, which is really fucking annoying, brings you.
Going to an award ceremony where no one's going to make eye contact brings you.
Another inglorious loss brings you. Way too focused on the Commonwealth Games brings you.
Getting very distracted by the much more interesting Commonwealth Games coverage while we're trying to record a podcast brings you.
Getting distracted by the much more well-physiqued men on the TV during the diving at the Commonwealth Games instead of recording a podcast brings you.
Wouldn't it be great if footballers... leave that there.
Well, no, please, Patrick. I'd actually prefer it if you clarified. Time.